You're in with Dolores Cahill on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome, everyone, to the Dolores Cahill Show on TNTRadio.live. And you can follow me on custodian.com, C-U-S-C-O-D-E-A-N. And it's a great pleasure to be coming from Stockholm in Sweden today. And all of my guests are freedom lovers and freedom defenders in Sweden. We have Michael Sazio. We have Monica Helleberg, Aga Wilson, and we will have Mona Nielsen talking to us around 5G and radiation in the second hour. So first of all, maybe I will go to Monica Helleberg because we have a rally in 2 hours' time in Stockholm. So Monica from the World Freedom Alliance, if you just want to tell everyone about the rally today.
Yes, thank you for having me here. Yes, we're having a rally today in Sweden at 2 o'clock at Observatorielunden. So please come there. We are raising the issue of the injuries from the injections. And we're going to have both injured people speaking out and doctors and nurses. And it's going to be a great, great party and a great, of course, also a lot of truth and a lot of things that we actually need to just raise into people's awareness. So both celebration in Sweden now, it's Valborg, it's celebration of the spring today. So both a celebration and of course some really hard truths being spoken. So you're very welcome to come there.
Thank wonderful, you. Wonderful. And I know Malika and I, it's time for planting potatoes in Sweden and we're just planting potatoes in Ireland this week. And maybe I'm just quickly going to go to Aga Wilson, who is participating in a worldwide campaign. Aga, if you just want to briefly introduce yourself.
Hi everyone, my name is Aga Wilson and I am, well, I wear many hats, but I am a freedom worker for sure. And my background is the UN. I used to be an adjunct professor at St. John's University on international relations and communication. And now I'm working a lot with the freedom movement in Sweden. I also, I'm talk show host at News Voice as well. So I'm interviewing amazing people from all over the world. I recently actually interviewed you, Dolores.
Yes, so. There was military helicopters outside where I was staying as we were doing the interview.
Probably for a reason. Yes. Because you're a rebel, but yeah, so that's a little bit about me.
And you have a worldwide campaign as well that you're involved
yes,
in?
That we're going to launch on May 18th, and I'm going to be talking about it a little bit.
Great. Okay. And the theme for that is, can we talk about it? And then we have our guest on the Zoom here is Michael Sazio. And Michael is a clinician and a medical researcher. Michael, if you just want to introduce yourself to everyone.
Yeah, I started to work in medicine 42 years ago, almost exactly right now. I think it was in the beginning of June, year 1980. So it's a long time. I'm also a scientist. I've been studying some geology, some astronomy, some chemistry, mathematics, biology, biochemistry. And well, I got some more strings not attached here today, but on my lure. So I'm also a researcher. I've been conducting research in audiology, otology, otorhinolaryngology, laryngology, and infectious medicine.
Very good. So maybe, Michael, we'll come to you. Just, you know, I know you've been looking into the injections, and from your scientific standpoint, what is your conviction about the therapies in these injections, some of which are based on RNA and genetic modification?
Well, first of all, my personal standpoint from a scientific view, I would say this is not an opinion. Do not tamper with nature. That's very important. And this is something we said a year and a half ago, that if you introduce those mRNA vaccines, so-called vaccines, which they are not, the genetic modification that you are doing when you're using those, you're taking a huge risk, and that you will affect the human DNA sequence, and that you will alter the DNA. Consequently, this has happened. And we were called lunatics when we addressed this. The problem is that you have to know before you conduct experiment on not only on people, but also on animal, because you have a moral obligation not to wound not even animals when you do the studies. But of course, you have to start somewhere. It speaks for itself. If you do enter something, a genetic construction, a genetic pattern, code into somebody's body, this genetic code will adventure your own human genome.
And Michael, how do you think, because, you know, for those scientists will say, we know that RNA is very unstable. And so one of the questions that I always had is, when it is even in the vial or injected, how come it doesn't degrade, you know?
Yeah, well, exactly. Because you have a lot of substances in the vials that should not be there, and that do those do affect whatever you have in your body or in a vial or wherever. But actually, the contents of the vials are supposed to preserve the mRNA in the vials, but not when it enters the body. You have so many more actions in the body that you cannot foretell. It's such a complex machinery inside the body, inside the fluids. You cannot tell what is going to happen. You cannot tell whether you will have an alteration of your own human DNA, if this is occurring on the basis that an integration of the mRNA, or if you will actually get more changes, which is a statistical habit that is actually going on inside the cell. If you introduce some things into the cell, you will have more degeneration of the genome than if you introduce other things. And when regarding mRNA, it's not broken down entirely. This is a statistical calculation. If you introduce something that can affect other things, it will affect. The question is how much it's going to affect.
Yeah, so I know what you were saying as well. I just want to reiterate it. Your first point was that we have a lawful and moral and ethical duty not to interfere with fundamental aspects such as the DNA of our bodies. That's the main point. I mean, we all know this is not necessary because there are prevention and treatments. But what you're strongly saying is that it is absolutely unconscionable, really, and immoral and unethical and unlawful to inject genetic material into people that may actually combine with their own chromosomes and DNA.
That's true. But not only that, this is not only an opinion either. It's also based on statistical facts and research, and from the VIRS database, there is no safe and effective vaccine at all. They all harm and damage. This is very important to know. And you have to have an open scientific mind. You cannot mix science with opinions. If you have an opinion, that's political. If you're scientific, it's based on knowledge and the truth.
Yes, and a lot of people, you know, when they are arguing with us, they say, do you believe, you know? And I also say the same thing. It's not about belief.
I never believe. Either I know or I don't.
Exactly. So what I say, but I'm just saying to frame, they frame the questions about do you believe in. That's part of the psychological manipulation and the undermining of debate.
Exactly.
It's like, do you believe in climate change? Do you believe in injections or vaccines? And that, of course, is not the standard. It is, we look at the evidence, and then what does the evidence tell us?
As long as you don't know, you're entitled to have an opinion. But the opinion should be based on carefulness about the future. You should be careful about what you're doing with not only, as I said, humans, but also with animals and with the whole earth. If you don't know, then okay, tell people this is my opinion, but I actually don't know. Or if you don't have complete knowledge, which we never have, you could address that as well.
So when you say none of the vaccines are safe, what evidence has brought you to that point? And I'm just speaking with Michael Stasio.
The VIRS system clearly shows that if you, for example, take the measles vaccines, they are causing one or two cases of death every 10th year in the United States of America. If you look at the measles itself, it's causing around 10 cases. The first thing I said was the measles is causing one or two deaths per 10 years. But if you take the measles vaccines, they will kill approximately 10 people every year. And you don't have 99% coverage or 98% coverage of the measles vaccines in the United States of America. It's probably around somewhere in between 90 and 95%. So more people are dying from the measles vaccines than from the disease itself. And not only that disease, there are so many other diseases that it is proven that the vaccines are causing more damage than they provide people from getting the disease.
So I did a calculation on the HPV vaccine, even from the clinical trials, and we know from the book, including HPV Vaccine on Trial with Mary Holland and other co-authors, that there was huge underreporting of the adverse events. But even if you look at the clinical trial, there is one in 50 people have a life-limiting severe adverse event. So that means that if you look at the chance of dying from cervical cancer, which is preventable, there are 8,000 years of adverse events for every 1 year that may be saved from the injection, because it's given to 12-year-olds. And this is not counting in the huge impact, negative impact it has on fertility and causing infertility.
And the same is valid for other vaccines, and especially the so-called COVID-19 vaccines. There's a huge underreporting. And we've seen this through the leaked Pfizer documentation from, I think it was approximately 1,700 side effects that were reported in that document, in that, their own study, which they didn't report when they got the acknowledgement and the approval for the vaccine. The problem is that politicians don't have knowledge. They have opinions. They don't have scientific experience, and they don't listen to the scientists that are not funded by themselves and their governments. They ask their own so-called scientists. Well, if you take, for instance, Anthony Fauci, he's not a scientist. He hasn't even been a doctor for decades. He is a bullshitter. And the thing is that talking to and relying on a guy like that and disqualifying thousands of researchers who have found severe side effects and who have a lot of knowledge, long experience from research in the vaccination industry, in other medical industries, in pharmaceutical industries whatsoever, in biology. That is, it's the most horrible thing you can do to a population. The populace should not go along with such a thing. And now people are starting to wake up, but we need more people to wake up. And I can tell you, there's going to be revolutions all over the world in the long term. I'm pretty sure and convinced about that.
Yeah, and we'll come in a few minutes to discussing more about the adverse events. But Michael, you're also involved in court cases. So, you know, you are a researcher and you know the evidence is there around the adverse events. It is causing more harm than good. But you've also served as a judge and you're working as a defender in court cases. If you just wanted to give us a brief detail of what kind of court cases you're taking and the importance of these court cases and also around informed consent.
Yeah, well, the problem is that I'm not working with court cases regarding vaccinations because we don't have any mandatory vaccination in Sweden. And so far, there is no court case about the COVID-19 vaccinations and or any other vaccinations at all. We have an insurance system where people who are being harmed can get some payment for the conditions that they've been caused. But it's very rare that they get it. The compensation is not being paid out and not ruled because they, in the cases of COVID-19, they are basing their decisions on the fact that people are not mandatory vaccinated, but they are going along. They are being compliant. And this is horrible because there's no such thing as compliance in this field. As the doctors, the nurses who are giving the injections, they are not telling the whole truth. They are not giving a full description of the conditions, the severe conditions that a patient could suffer after getting those injections. So informed consent is actually based on the Nuremberg Code. This is, it's not a convention, it's not a regulation, but it's a regulatory code, which is, giving a standard for informed consent. And all those 10 points, bullet points in the Nuremberg Code must be met before you can call it informed consent. All those 10 bullet points have been violated regarding the COVID-19 vaccination and regarding most vaccination occasions. Each and every patient getting a vaccination, vaccinations for children, vaccinations on adults. So informed consent is highly neglected by the medical sphere.
So I suppose this comes from, you know, the law, you know, as we know, anyone listening to this show as well, as opposed to the legal system deals with the dead fiction, right? The corporation, and why there will be not court cases is because if you're dead, they are representing you, you are summoned from the dead to court, right? But then you cannot have an adverse event and you cannot be re-killed again, right? That's why the legal system doesn't work. But yeah, in the law, it's act in honor, do no harm, and no act or regulation can infringe on your inalienable rights, freedom of speech, freedom of travel, bodily integrity, and privacy. And so any act that would infringe on your inalienable rights, including bodily integrity and doing harm, is unlawful and criminal and is malfeasance in public office if the judges and the solicitors do not investigate it. So a lot of these protections against harm don't come from the Nuremberg Code. They come from the law, which comes from the do no harm principle, which is thousands of years old. So I think one question we should ask, though, is that all the judges in Sweden and everywhere, they have a duty. They are paid to do no harm, right? To protect the lives and the health of people. So I think a big question we need to ask is, what are all the solicitors and barristers and judges doing? Why isn't there a court case if people are killed?
The thing is that they're all part of the same wolf pack. And they are part of a huge organization. Now, remember that judges are employed by the government. If you're employed by the government, you have a loyalty to your employer. And who's the employer? The government consists of the government and the authorities. They're all employed. So this is a league of employed loyalists. That was a nice construction, wasn't it? So they cannot break free from this because then they will probably get fired. And when it comes to the solicitors, the lawyers who are taking cases, who are being appointed by the courts to take this or that case of defense, another problem there is that if they oppose the government, they won't get any cases. And then they won't get any income. It's all about money in this or that sense. But you have to remember that people, they have to get food on the table, shelter over their head, and clothes on their body, and then some, you know, a little more things. But that's what they primarily work for. And then they want to have a buffer for the future. is now going to be eaten up by the financial system, which is now totally demolishing the world, because the bubble is going to pop, the financial bubble is going to pop. They've already begun to pop. But people are very selfish. They are definitely not working for the best of the populace, for the best of the people in the country or in the European Union or in the world. There is almost no such thing. Those who do, they will be repressed by the system, obstructed by the system, and of course called conspiracy theorists, etc., despite the fact that they can present proof, which is important. Now, one thing that I would like to bring up is the Convention on the Rights of the Child, which has been ratified by more than 100 countries all over the world, more than half of the countries of the world. Despite that, it is being violated by all those governments using COVID-19 vaccination on children under the age of 18. We're not talking about under the age of 12 or under the age of 7, or we're talking about under the age of 18. All children under the age of 18 shall be protected from anything that not will, but can harm them. And we now have evidence, which I presented for the Swedish government a couple of months ago. I presented calculations and reports from the United Kingdom. Those were official information.
How did you present that, Michael? What was the process that you presented it to the Swedish government?
I wrote them a letter and I sent it to three agencies, the Swedish CDC, the Swedish FDA, and one more, which is in the field of the prevention of people's health, and also supporting information about the healthcare system, and also guiding. We have 21 hospital regions in Sweden. They must have guidance and rules. And there's an agency for healthcare, which is taking care of those things. And I also addressed it to the Swedish government. I sent them charts that show that more than 10 times as many children who are vaccinated with Pfizer's COVID-19 so-called vaccine died compared to children who were unvaccinated. Those were children vaccinated with two doses. And there were more than three times as many children. The first age span was from 10 to 14 years of age. The second age span that I presented was from 15 to 19 years of age. And that report from the English government showed that more than three times as many double vaccinated individuals in that age span died compared with the unvaccinated. The answer, the reply that I got from the Swedish agency of pharmaceuticals, medical agency, whatever they're called, was that no children had died in Sweden. But come on, research is an international phenomenon. You cannot make changes. You cannot diversify within the Caucasian population. You cannot diversify children in Great Britain from children in Sweden. That's an impossibility because we have the same origin. This is just, it's baloney. It's crazy. Those people working in the agencies, they are protecting this political decisions that have been taken based on, I would say, that the politicians have been forced to do this or talked into it through propaganda and, of course, indoctrination. They are part of an indoctrination scheme as well as a propaganda scheme. And they deliver it themselves. They deliver it in their turn to the people. Try to affect the medical establishment through indoctrination and using propaganda on the people. It's very, very difficult for people to protect themselves and defend themselves against that kind of disinformation. or selected information. You don't tell the whole truth. So social psychology is very important when it comes to this. You have to understand and know this is not mind control. This is propaganda and indoctrination mainly. It's not education. And advertising, of course, is another part of the social way to affect people. Advertising, indoctrination, and propaganda. Those are the three, that's the tripod of inflicting false narratives.
Yes, and really it's psychological manipulation, which has been going on, I suppose, for generations. Yes. And the Tavistock Institute is, as we know, you know, part of how the Committee of 300 or whatever have influenced the media and the education system and the narrative or whatever. But it's a great pleasure to be talking with Michael Sazio, and we'll just go to a quick break on the Dolores Kyle Show on TNTRadio.live.
We wear the PPE and wade through the muck so you don't have to. Never miss our thought-provoking take on the latest news and current affairs. Take TNT Radio wherever you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Hey everyone, TNT presenter Misty Winston here. As you may already know, journalist and publisher Julian Assange is facing extradition and 175 years in prison for doing what journalists all over the world do every day. This case represents the most dangerous threat to press freedom in history. The case now sits in the hands of UK Home Secretary Priti Patel. Please contact her office and encourage her to do the right thing and refuse the extradition request. This case will forever change the future of press freedom. We can't afford to lose.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
When you listen to us, you're always guaranteed straightforward, easy to understand, coherent conversation.
That's why I've made it a priority my entire career to work closely with you from the time I got to the Senate 180 years ago.
And we stand by those words.
But I made very clear to Putin that we're not going to seek So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to... Anyway.
Oh, man. Just stop talking.
TNT.
Welcome back to the Dolores Cahill Show on TNTRadio.live. And Michael, just before the break, I'm speaking with Michael Sazio and all my guests today. We're in Stockholm in Sweden preparing for a rally around 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Stockholm. But Michael, you were just talking about the psychological component and how the politicians were not responding and also the civil servants just before the break.
Yeah. And this is a problem. We have educated psychologists, even in Sweden. And I think we should use them because they have the ability to make people understand why. I studied some social psychology myself, actually. That's why I'm so interested in this field as well, beside medicine. But the thing is that psychologists can and should get the opportunity to inform people about how you are affecting other people. We are social creatures. We are always being affected through meeting other people. The impact from other people can be either strong or weak. It's up to ourselves to educate ourselves so that we understand how to oppose strong influence, because some people who are strongly influencing us, if we are unaware of those, conditions that do actually steer us more or less. If we are unaware of those, then we're being soft targets, I would say. We're easily affected and could be easily afflicted by that kind of information or disinformation or filtered information. So there's a psychologist, she was a PhD in California, at the University of Southern California, San Diego. Margaret Thaler Singer, she's dead nowadays, unfortunately. She would be a very interesting woman to talk to and discuss those matters with. But she also was working a lot with the American military. And a lot of people, they believe that militaries, military staff personnel, troopers, are in are mind controlled, which is not true. If they're being captured, they can be, yes. But in a standard organization, such as the United States, States Navy or whatever, infantry or, well, any division, Panzer divisions, they are not mind controlled. Not if, even if they're Navy SEALs, they're not mind controlled. They have been indoctrinated. They have gotten along with an agreement, a contractual agreement, that they will do what they're instructed to, and they will pass the information on to other people, the information that they're being taught. That is indoctrination.
And I think a lot of, you know, the lawyer Anna de Busseret in England, who worked as well for over 10 years as a military officer and also worked in Pfizer as a management consultant, but is a qualified solicitor, that she, you know, is also in touch with a lot of the military in England and around the world. And she says that the tools around the media and the advertising campaigns are a form of psychological manipulation that try and coerce and pressurize people to get the injection, which we know will result in adverse events. So I just want to come to Aga Wilson again. And I know, Aga, you're involved in leading a team of people with the global campaign, which is a can we talk about it, around trying to talk about the adverse events of the vaccine. So would you just like to give us a brief overview of the campaign?
Yeah, so basically the campaign actually started here in Sweden under the name Tala om det, which means talk about it in English. And it was spearheaded by one of our colleagues, and her name is Ann-Katrin. She was vaccine injured herself from the COVID vaccine. So at some point she wanted to stand up, you know, for other people and herself, because she wasn't getting any help or any answers. She was ignored by the medical establishment and just sent from doctor to doctor to doctor. And a lot of people don't believe that these people are actually have actually been injured. So we decided to make this campaign global, because I'm working a lot in the global context. Just to raise awareness and start talking about it, because this is an issue. This is actually an issue that's you know, touching millions of people all over the world that are experiencing this. And I've now been talking to large networks of people that have been vaccine injured by the COVID-19 vaccine, and it's absolutely horrendous what these people are going through. And to me, they're heroes. The ones I'm talking about and working with a lot now, because they are literally so sick that they can hardly get out of bed sometimes, and they are standing up for humanity and standing up for people and giving them a voice. So it's it inspires me a lot.
No, I think it's really important. And also, these are people who obviously have taken the injection, and now they may have been completely healthy, were not at all aware that these injections were not necessary. There was prevention and treatment. But now they are suffering injuries. So maybe do you want to just describe some of the injuries that these people have?
I mean, it's everything from neurological injuries. I mean, Bree, who I work with, she had probably 20 different side effects. Her skin was like, her nervous system went bananas, and she couldn't even hold her son's hand, because it was you know, so sensitive, painful. To her, painful. Yeah. She couldn't. I mean, she said to me that the first year she was separated from her children because she couldn't actually. She had to be isolated because she was so sick. So her legs stopped working. I mean, there are people in wheelchairs. There are people with blood clots, heart attacks. I mean, the list. I mean, the list of side effects can be read by Pfizer's report themselves, and it's a very long list. And I think most people should actually look into it before even taking a shot, experimental shot like this.
And that's, of course, Michael. What Michael was saying was about the informed consent, is that you know, under the law, they need to be provided with that information, particularly if it's unnecessary. But, you know, it's excellent in a way. These vaccine injured people, they need to tell us, what do they need? So what, from talking to these people who are injured by the injections, what are they saying they need?
I mean, first of all, I just wanted to say that in regards to the statistics, when we talk about, I mean, right now, Bayer's has reported over 1.2 million adverse reactions, and it's, of course, underreported. We have the European Union has reported over 1.4 million. In Europe, we have over 100,000, Sweden, sorry, we have over 100,000, which is a lot for a small country. And I have never seen medical treatment not being taken off the market after this many events of, you know, reactions. Yes. So that to me in itself is insane that we're not doing anything about it. And these people, I mean, when I talk to them, it's a very complicated situation because, first of all, they're being ignored by the politicians and the medical establishment. They're being ignored by their friends and family. They are also attacked both by the people that took the vaccine for, you know, them not living up to saving others. And then they're being attacked actually by the people that didn't take it, that are telling them, suit yourself, you're an idiot for taking the vaccine. So they're in a very, very difficult situation. I interviewed seven of them the other day all over. And there was a woman from Ireland that told me that no one wants to speak out there, no one. And she's basically alone in this fight because they are so scared of speaking out. So the campaign, the whole idea of this campaign is actually to, not only for these people, we want to support them and their families during, you know, this whole thing. But the other side of it is we want regular people, including us, but also regular people to come out and support them and show compassion because, you know, we're in this together and we really need to help these people now because, you know, they're part of us and our world. So it's really important, you know, that all of us come together and do this.
And maybe if that lovely person in Ireland wants to come on to the radio show, I'll give him or her a platform. So if that's okay, we'll happily give them a platform to talk about it. Because it's true in Ireland, I think the psychological manipulation and the censorship within the media and the public TV and of the politicians. And as everyone knows, there is still allegedly an arrest warrant for me in beautiful Ireland. So I'm in Sweden at the moment. If the police want to know where I am, I've escaped. So now, of course, in the World Freedom Alliance, we're very honored to be listening to people that have vaccine injury. But Manike, I know you're doing many things in the World Freedom Alliance, but if you just want to say what you're doing in Sweden as well around the case against the pharmaceutical industry.
Yes. So in Sweden, we have AstraZeneca. AstraZeneca is based. So we realize we have all the evidence we have. We know that there are also things in the injections that are not declared in, or that they don't tell people is in there. There's evidence of graphene oxide in the injections, for instance, which is basically a poison. It's really not supposed to go into anyone's body. So we have a brave lawyer in Sweden, Henning Witte, who was also defending the Estonia victims in the big boat catastrophe in Sweden. So he's brave enough to support us to actually make, you know, a legal complaint against AstraZeneca, because I think when we have all the evidence, we all need to take responsibility and we all need to come together and actually support all of the people that are actually in the front line to take that responsibility. And if you are in a country where you do have these medical, you know, pharmaceutical companies that are actually bringing about this big havoc in the world, mm-hmm. I think it's my responsibility in Sweden to take care of Sweden. So that's what we're doing. We do have, you know, we do have the evidence. We have a lot of support from amazing experts around the world. We do need more people that have been injured by the AstraZeneca vaccine. It's really, really sad, but we've been in contact with a lot of people A lot of them has died during the process. That's how bad it is.
And were somewhat age ranges were those people? So these are people who were vaccine injured, wanted to take part in your case.
Exactly.
But they have died in the last year.
Yeah, while we were talking to, I mean, during the process of, you know, so it's really, really bad. It's really, really bad. And everything from, you know, blood clots and, you know, headaches that is so bad that people can't work, and they say, oh, it's psychological. You know, they blame, it's this kind of psychological game. You know, if someone has injured someone else, that the blame kind of comes back to the person, which is not the case. So I think if you've been vaccine injured, be very careful with that. It's not your fault.
Because we saw the same thing with the HPV vaccine, that a lot of the teenagers were perfectly healthy. And then when they had the adverse events that were on the that were found in the clinical trial, the doctors in their own countries around the world were saying that the teenager had psychological issues and was depressed when they knew from the clinical trial that these were real medical conditions.
Yes, and I just wanted to jump in there because that's exactly what has been coming out from my conversations with the vaccine injured people. Many of them were sent home saying that they had anxiety. Even if they went into ER, they had like incontinence, they had, I mean, so many different things going on in their bodies. And it was just like, yeah, you're suffering from anxiety. Here, take some pills, you know. Mm. That was it.
Mm. Yeah, and I know, Michael, you were also involved not only in Sweden, but also in Italy around the mandatory vaccinations in relation to the Italian constitution as well. But if you just wanted to give your experience in that area as well.
Well, there was a judgment now delivered a couple of days ago in Italy where a court judged that mandatory vaccination was in violation with the Italian constitution. And it actually is also violating the European constitution, the fundamental, what is called the fundamental charter of the human rights within the European Union.
That's it.
Especially Article 3 and when regarding children's Article 24 and 32. So this is grave. We were working in Italy year 2000, I think it was 17 or 18. Can't remember now. It's such a long time ago. But anyway, it was Sarah Bowe and I, and I went through some interviews because nowadays I'm also working with an organization called Organizzazione Mondiale per la Vita, which is Italian. Wow, that was my camera falling. I don't have a stand for it. Well, and it's called the World Organization for Health, which is a Latin organization. And we're working in Spain, of course, Portugal, together with Luis da Fonseca Castro, who's a judge in there. And it's him, me, and it's also an Italian judge. And we're the kind of front group in this organization. We're also working with the Latin American countries where they speak Spanish or Portuguese, as in Brazil. And it's a large movement, and I hope that we will start to affect, as we've done in Italy now, start to affect the countries and the regulation, the regulatory functions they have, and make the courts understand that these rules that you have mandatory vaccination or social control methods, as you and I, part of 31 judges judging in the International Tribunal, in Canada a year and a half ago, we ruled that also social control methods are actually violating human rights. So in Italy, the court found that this was violating the Italian constitution. However, when we were working there a little more than or about 5 years ago, the Senate and the Parliament decided to introduce the new laws regarding mandatory vaccination on children with fines for the parents if they didn't get along with vaccinating their own children. This is a severe violation of the natural law in England, well known as the common law, but the natural principles that each and everyone is deciding over his own body. Nobody else can force you to do anything. Mm-hmm. The natural law principles actually allows you to kill whomever is trying to intervene into your body.
Yes, and I suppose the thing is, the revelation is that all of these rules will say, you know, in the EU and in the Constitution applies to citizen and the law. So that's like the legal system, but the law applies to living men and women, and the law comprises the right. natural law and the common law. But so you cannot mandate anything that would harm someone under the law. So the revelation that we have here is to understand that the legal system does not right. interact at all and has no jurisdiction over living men and women. And that just because they say something to a citizen and the EU, you know, human rights is not the living man and woman, the color of man, the citizen, but the law applies to men and women who can be harmed. So that is the revelation, I think. That is part of the journey, that it is a crime of malfeasance in public office and of civil servants and of any doctor or anyone to harm a man or woman, even if they have rules, you know. But yeah. that's the revelation, I think, that we will all learn.
Yeah, I can jump
now
in there.
The EU is laying the foundation for mandatory vaccination. And I want to address this. The Swedish prime minister a year or so ago said that we must all be vaccinated so that we can get into the new financial system. What does that tell you? And the proof.
But I think, can I just jump in there? You can only mandate to a citizen, right? Which is a piece of paper. A mandate is something that has to be voted in by the people, right? Under the law. So if something conflicts with harming men and women, then it is unlawful. And anyone who tries to bring it in, it's a crime of malfeasance, which is 10 years in prison. So mandatory, nothing. That's why, you know, people like me travel, because to the police I say, anything that's written down that infringes on bodily integrity or your freedom of travel is criminal and unlawful and cannot be mandated.
Well,
yes, I would like to jump in there and talk about what we're doing in the World Freedom Alliance now, because it really boils down to what is the core of the World Freedom Alliance is those fundamental rights, and to actually protect them when the world is honestly going completely bananas, going completely mad. You know, if you have some kind of free thinking left, you can really see this, and this can be really lonely. And what the hope that we have is to come together across the fields, and we need to listen to each other. We need to take care of each other. And what we're doing now is forming an action plan, forming the, you know, coming together, organizations, you know, ground level, grassroots, really initiatives and experts. All of us need to come together and, you know, forget about our egos or this and that, and just get into action mode. And that's what we're doing in the World Freedom Alliance action plan. And what we hear, because we already started the process of listening to the grassroots, listening to the experts, and it kind of boils down to three things. Like we're in a warlike situation. We need to just accept that. We are in a war right now. They are attacking our bodies. They're attacking our minds. They're attacking us on many levels. So we need to learn to protect ourselves. And the first thing is to know our rights and then learn to protect our rights. And then the second thing is to come together in community. And some say, oh, that's airy fairy. It's not. It's really about the basic thing, being human. It's about being together, taking care of each other, and learning to be human again, learning to take care of our own needs, learning to take care of our own emotions, etc. And then also to take care of yourself, because it is a really, really tough situation. So we need to take care of each individual. You need to take that self-responsibility for yourself, not to put blame outside, not to say, oh, you should have done that, or this person should. No, you take your responsibility yourself. If you want something to be done, you do it. If you need help, reach out. We have each other. So, yeah, that's what the World Freedom is. Alliance is about right now. You're so welcome to join us in our focus groups.
That's right, at worldfreedomalliance.org. And I suppose the thing, what the state, which is a corporation, a fiction, is trying to make people dependent on welfare state and on things like a universal social income, because then they kind of make people be like children, thinking that they cannot live as independent people in the world, to make them psychologically and financially dependent, which is, Michael, I think the point you were getting at around trying to make people have the not have the freedom for cash and to be dependent on a digital currency system.
Exactly. We had a problem with the banking system here in Sweden just yesterday, actually, when people all of a sudden had negative holdings in their bank accounts. They lost a lot of money. It's been corrected, but it happened. We don't know if this was somebody hacking the banking system or if it was something else.
So which banks was it? Because they've done that in Malta about three or four months ago.
Swedbank, right?
Just for people around the world. They did it in Malta a few months ago, right? Where everybody in the major banks had zero in their account. And in the same week, they did it in Australia. Now, some of us who know the plan, Agenda 21, Agenda 30, said it in our speeches from 2 years ago, that what they are going to do, and it's sadly from Basel III and Basel IV, the EU has said that they can reduce the amount in your bank account to zero within 24 hours, which can start from a Friday. So what we don't want to do, of course, is to raise further fear, because they are manipulating people through fear. So the thing is for people to understand the situation and make alternative arrangements. But if they themselves become strong and courageous and sort out their food supply and work with their families and neighbors, they will be able to survive no matter what they do. But Michael, if you just want to go into detail about what happened in Sweden, because I think a lot of people around the world are not aware in the banking system this week.
Yeah, well, Sweden is not part of the European monetary system. We don't have the euro. We have the Swedish krona, crown. Which is the coin. And the thing with Sweden is that we have our, we have a governmental bank, which is steering interest rates, etc. In Sweden, we have the same kind of system as in all other countries, that the banks can, when they give you a loan on a house or so, you have an asset, you want to buy it, you're getting a loan, and that asset is the security for the loan. Then the bank can print money. And while you're paying it back, those money are being withdrawn from the account. But it's digital money. So we have the same kind of system as almost all other countries. It was better in the past when we only had money. We don't have money any longer. We have currency. There's no gold and silver in the money. There's no gold reserve to talk about, not a large one. There's no silver reserve. We need to have those assets as a reserve for the money that we use in the country. And if people are stupid enough to use digital currency to pay with their credit cards or paying cards, one of those days, if you're disliked by the government can say, we're shutting you off now. So you can't pay your rent. You can't pay your electricity bill. You can't pay anything. You can't buy food. You got to go to someone who's your friend and ask them whether they can buy it for you. But you can't pay them. This is a huge problem.
Of course, some of us in the freedom movement would have experienced that over the last few years. So, you know, I think the thing is that really money is the genius, you know, and the energy and the life force of men and women, right? So we are in an amazing phase that they are exposing the, we'll say since 1913, the way they have manipulated the Federal Reserve. And really we have private banking systems around the world. But of course, we know that there are many different ways of banking and that will, that can in a way in the next few years be changed, you know? So what we definitely don't want to do is to raise more fear. Because really money is only what you generate with an hour of your work. Or if you're a farmer, you can trade anything, you can trade food. So you know what I mean? That we want to, just because now they are trying to say we won't have cash, we can always, you know, under the law, generate new banking systems that are lawful and are not involved in any fraudulent misrepresentation or in making unlawfully that cash is, you know, that they don't accept cash, which is, you know, unlawful. But just that was very interesting. And my guests today are Michael Sasio from Sweden, Aga Wilson from Sweden, and Manika Hellevard, also from Sweden. And in the next hour, we'll have these guests will remain, and also Mona Nielsen. And at the top of the hour, we'll go to the news on the Dolores Cahill Show.